This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Devils win a faceoff of the Vancouver zone. Dumoulin got a shot left point. Stopped by Dick. A rebound. They score. Hughes with room. High slot. Got a shot away. Hit the post. Rebound in the crease. They score. Jake DeBrusk parked in front. Ties the game for the Canucks in the final minute. It's 3-3 with 34.7 seconds remaining.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Said it's Jonathan Lekkermäki for the Canucks. He scored in the game, and he can win it now in the shootout. Here is the young sniper, Lekkermäki, wide onto the right wing. Back into the slot on Markstrom, shoots, he scores! Lekkermäki wins it for the Canucks in the shootout. A huge come-from-behind victory. They equalized in the final minute, and Lekkermäki, who scored in the third period, scores in the shootout to give the Canucks the victory, 4-3 in New Jersey.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks, a big shootout win against the Devils. Outmanned, not outwilled tonight. Gutsy performance, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar, and as always, get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. It's a game the Canucks had to have. Their bleak playoff hopes would have looked far bleaker had they not won this game, and they pull out a 4-3 shootout win. John Lekkermäki, he scored the game-deciding goal. He also had a goal to tie the game up briefly in the third period. And what a chaotic third period, which we've grown accustomed to seeing here recently from the Vancouver Canucks. But, you know, tonight, I think the biggest thing for me is how gutsy this performance was. We know the Canucks don't have anywhere near the talent the Devils have. Now, they're missing a couple guys too, no doubt. But we see the talent disparity here. And the Canucks were not going to be outwilled tonight. Give them a lot of credit.
By hook or by crook, that's what you got to do right now. And, like, what a gutty effort from this group, too, because there was moments to pack it in, and Meyer gets that, you know, bouncing goal. And it's kind of been the scenario here. Like, a goal has gone off DeBrusk. A goal has gone off Quinn Hughes. A goal goes off Drew O'Connor's skate, bounces perfectly for Timo Meyer tonight. And then this one that goes off the backboards lands for Timo Meyer. You're like, everything's just going wrong here. And all you can do is handle the next shift. Can you go get the next one? Lekkermäki gets the next one very shortly thereafter. And then Holla gets one. You're like, all right, that's the one. But hey, they push, and eventually the Pugh Suter one goes in.
Yeah, and it was great to see them be able to tie the game, and great shot from Lekkermäki in the shootout. Let's welcome in Randeep Janda into the conversation, calling the game alongside Brendan Batchelor, a 4-3 shootout win for the Canucks. I mean, they really needed this, and the thing I liked about the game, Randeep, there was no feeling sorry for themselves coming into the game. You know, we had the news that Pettersson and Hoglander were sent back to Vancouver, will not rejoin them for the trip. We know Filip Hedl's not on the trip. You know, it's looking pretty dire as far as the personnel goes. And then Thatcher Demko says, I'm playing in the game tonight. I have to be there for my teammates. And his teammates stepped up, and I thought, you know, obviously it wasn't a perfect game. They had some moments, and the Devils did some good things too, but I can't really think of any gutsier performances considering the stakes and considering how undermanned they were up front.
Yeah, guys, that's the word, right? You head into this game without Elias Pettersson, Nils Hoglander, you mentioned Hedl, and, you know, the thought process is, uh-oh, you're in trouble. But I think that Thatcher Demko wanting to play this game, getting back in the crease, you know what that means to the team. He is your guy. Obviously, when he's healthy, when he's on his game, he's one of the leaders. He's part of the leadership group that is able to drive things. So, you know, I think that mentally does a lot for these guys, but they had that, you know, no quit in their mind. Where in this game, whether it was the 2-1 goal from Timo Meyer, and you mentioned it, guys, it was unlucky, right? Brendan Dillon shoots it wide, boom, a lucky bounce. Pops up right on the stick of Timo Meyer, and that could be the moment that breaks you when you feel like you've done so much right in this game. It doesn't. Lekkermäki scores. Even after that, the Eric Halla one, like against New York Rangers, we saw some breakdowns from the Canucks, and in that game, it hurt them. It kind of wrecked them. On that play, you know, that was another play where two New Jersey players are all by themselves, and that could have been another moment where you're just like, you know, shoulders slump. But no, they get back. They get the late goal. So a gutsy effort, one that will do wonders for their confidence. And they needed this, and they got it.
And especially the response to Randy, not even just in-game off of the goals and could have sunk their season. But it was such a well-played game against the Rangers and you don't get that win and you lose bodies and you think, all right, I think there's a sentiment from the fan base that would have been like, all right, that's kind of the season. And I was interested just in general, see what the performance would look like tonight. And yeah, at moments when they were pushed out and potentially down tonight, they came back. But it speaks to the entire picture of what they had to do tonight.
Totally it does. And I thought there were obviously, you know, full team effort on that, but there are certain moments in this game, guys, and I'm sure we're going to talk about them, but Quinn Hughes just grabbing, you know, his team and willing them to victory. But from a team mentality, outside of Quinn Hughes as well, we saw a number of efforts from players trying to get their team back into it, whether it was, you know, Pew Suter and what he was able to do and finding the middle of the ice on both of those goals. I think as of right now, they're giving that goal, the game-tying goal to Pew Suter. We'll see if they change that back. But, you know, getting to that dangerous part of the ice, the, hey, we're going to get there and we're going to score and at that point, right? Suter's first goal was in that area. The second goal that scored late is in that area. Lekkerimäki gets to the soft area in the middle of the ice. I thought overall the team was able to, you know, draw a level of confidence and a level of determination that we haven't seen a lot of late. But when you're without Nils Höglander, who's one of your most intense players and is able to get to the middle of the ice, you know, somebody else has got to step up. We saw that. Without Elias Pettersson, who's one of your more skilled players, somebody else has to bring the skill. Somebody else has to bring that. We saw that with Pew Suter and Lekkerimäki both doing that. So I think it was a strong effort across the board, and they're going to need a little bit of this from everybody moving forward. And shout out also, guys, to two fantastic passes made by Marcus Pettersson on that first Suter goal and Derek Forbert on the Lekkerimäki goal. Like, when we talk about creating offense, we often think, you know, about Quinn Hughes, we think about the forwards, but on both of those plays, both of those defensemen made huge, huge impacts.
Yeah, they certainly did, right? And, you know, Quinn Hughes' last game was tremendous, and the real, I'd say, cruelty of hockey really showed itself last game when Quinn was tremendous, had a puck go off his skate and go in, and maybe tonight's performance wasn't as good, and on one of the goals defensively he could have done a lot better. But the way Quinn is trying to will this game, this team to victory right now, is one of the most impressive things we've seen all season.
Yeah, I thought tonight's game was also, of course, there's, you know, certain moments where you mentioned, you know, defensively, but guys, that was superhero stuff yet again, especially in that third period where you're essentially saying you need something, you need somebody to create. And even going back to that, I believe it was a power play where they didn't have much of anything going on, but, you know, Hughes makes that pass to Garland. That's really the only chance they get. There's certainly more offense picking up from his stick as the game goes on. And that third period, I thought, was really, really the most impressive part. You look at, you know, the zone entries and exits, the way he's able to dictate. And really, Vancouver had trouble at, I want to say in the second period, picking up any sort of speed or, you know, puck control in the neutral zone. There's one shift where he basically has the exit, he has his own entry, and then it looks like he loses the puck. And he engages with Nolan Foote along the boards, shoulder to shoulder, wins the puck back, and then that creates, you know, possession for Vancouver. Prior to that, they were being hemmed in their own zone. Timo Meier had just scored his first goal. And I thought that shift to me was where, okay, this guy's willing his team back into this game. Stop eating pressure, and I'm going to take the puck, and I'm going to win battles and initiate. And then third period, guys, I thought, you know, Quinn Hughes, the way he's dancing on that blue line, finding that shooting lane, and eventually they tie up this game. I thought this was, from an offensive perspective, from showing off his skating and how dynamic he is, I thought it was an unbelievable game. And, you know, if he scores that goal in overtime where Markstrom saves, right, the right shoulder save, we might be talking about, you know, a highlight reel goal, and everybody's talking about Quinn Hughes and how unbelievable he continues to be. I thought this was an unbelievable game from him.
32 minutes and 13 seconds tonight from Quinn Hughes, including 3 minutes and 27 seconds in overtime, coming off of the Rangers game where he was unreal, 28-25, 30-18 the night before, four nights ago against St. Louis. So he's playing half the game this recent stretch here,
yep.
And he's been full value for it. 6 shots on goal, 9 total attempts tonight. It's been amazing to watch. The young kid, Jonathan Lekkerimäki gets the game tying goal, gets the shootout winner, the stick twirl leading up to the shootout, like some swagger there, and he packed it up with some goals tonight.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, to do all of that in less than 10 minutes of ice time, guys, you get one goal, you have an excellent chance in overtime where, you know, that goal, that play, he doesn't score a goal. He tries to go glove hand side, even though there's room on the blocker side. But what you love about that is in the shootout, he makes the adjustment, right, where he goes blocker, and there's so much room there as Markstrom dropped his shoulder a little bit, and the stick twirl, he's got the confidence, he's going in there, and he makes that adjustment. Listen, he's going to – it's going to be – obviously, you know, you're not an NHLer right when you hit, you know, pro hockey. It takes time, especially if you're making that switch from across the pond. But with Jonathan Lekkerimäki, his ability to find the middle of the ice when he goes to, you know, the center there to get that pass from Forbert, that's something. If he does that more often, that's going to score a lot of points literally on the scoreboard, but also with your coach. Because, you know, one of the things that Rick Tocchet has mentioned is, hey, yeah, of course, you know, in Abbotsford, we wanted him to hit the middle of the ice, not be so perimeter. You score like that, you put yourself in an opportunity to do that in less than 10 minutes of ice time, guys, and you have a couple other chances to score. For a team that is starving offense right now, Lekkerimäki is a breath of fresh air, and Rick Tocchet probably walks away from this game to say, all right, you know what, maybe I can give him a little bit more time because he's that one-shot scorer.
Yeah, and a lot of fans are excited about him. Sean and Campbell Rivers says, keep Lekkerimäki on the team. Kids over here saving jobs, playing 10 minutes a night. Could he earn some extensions if he plays 20 minutes a night, if he's, you know, saving jobs at 10 minutes a night? But, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, tremendous from him. And somebody else texted in. I'm just going to bring this up here in a second. I want to give credit to the person who made a good point of that. He had that great chance in overtime. Pettersson, Lekkerimäki did. He shoots it wide, but showed no ill effects of that in the shootout. And Gillis from Langley says, like he would ice in his veins, little sick stick twirl before ripping a top shelf. Short memory for the kid, missed a golden opportunity at the end, but seals it. A lot of love for the rookie tonight. And that's big, and you're kind of hoping he carries that over, because that's what the Canucks need here. They need somebody to catch lightning in a bottle. And it doesn't mean they have to do this, you know, for the rest of their career, but that's what you need. You need somebody to really get hot. And I'm not sure Lekkerimäki is going to truly earn the trust to play 17, 18 minutes, but he might be one of their best shots at getting a handful of goals before the end of the season.
Well, you need a short memory span when you're in this league as well, right? If you feel like you maybe didn't have the best shot, or maybe you picked the wrong side, hey, that's all right. Shooter's going to shoot, right? You get an opportunity next time around, you shoot it with confidence. And that's where, you know, we've seen the highlights when he was over in Sweden. We've seen the highlights here in Abbotsford as well. But he's a guy that is a natural goal scorer. It's just a matter of finding that confidence at the NHL level. And I think he took a step tonight, because you're right. You know, you score that goal, you have that opportunity to end the game in overtime, and you're not able to. You know, a lot of players can slump their shoulders. He didn't, and he came back out and shot that puck with authority in the shootout to end this game, guys.
Final one here. Just thoughts on Thatcher Demko, right? Long return, 6 weeks here. Long waited return, and pretty decent night for him.
Yeah, the save on Paul Cotter in overtime was unbelievable, right? That's probably the one you walk away from when it's a part of the highlight reel. But I thought there was a stretch in the second period at the beginning where he made a couple of saves on the PK right off the bat, a couple from distance. But that was really, I think, an area where you're saying, okay, this guy, he's feeling confident. He's challenging. And I believe it was the shift where Pugh Suter had a chance to clear the puck, and he couldn't elevate. And what that did was that just kept Vancouver in their own zone on the PK. And there was a lot of chasing going on. So it wasn't exactly structured in front of him, but he was confident. He was on the edge of the blue paint. And, you know, obviously there's going to be some rust. There's going to be, I thought that, you know, Eric Halla goal, he didn't have much support there. It's a couple of Canucks, you know, players just let a path through. So there's only so much a goaltender can do in plays like that. But overall, guys, I thought he had a fantastic game. He's, you know, on a couple of those plays, it looked like he was confident. And I'm hoping, you know, that he's healthy moving forward, because that's the first and most important thing with Thatcher Demko. But he showed that he's a special goaltender, especially on that Cotter play. And if you can get him healthy, if you can get Kevin Lankinen healthy, you know, you've got a heck of a 1-2 punch that you're confident in any given night. It's just he's got to stay on the ice. But I liked his game tonight.
Great stuff, Randy. And listen, the Canucks live to fight another day, and a big game coming up on Thursday against Bo Horvat and New York Islanders. And we'll see what that night has in store for us.
That's right. Fond memories for Jonathan Lekkerimäki as well. Scored his first NHL goal against the Islanders, so maybe he can keep the good vibes going on in that next game as well.
Yeah, let's hope so. Great stuff, man.
Cheers, boys.
And that is Randeep Janda, and that is your game review. Need more power and efficiency in your lineup? Meet the 2025 Honda CR-V Sport with rates from 2.49%. Visit bchonda.ca. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, Dunbar Lumber 650-650, and we'll get to your phone calls as well, 604-280-0650 or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. Before we go to the phone boards, Bick, what are the people saying to the text inbox here tonight? Hannah says, love the resiliency, way to throw Demko right back in the thick of things. It does feel like they have a lot of defensive breakdowns after faceoffs, though, at least lately, which hopefully they can clean up soon.
Yeah, something we'll get to throughout the course of the show. But good text there from Hannah. Rafe, I can wait a few more days for the Tankathon clickbait. That one. Phil in Moncton, Lekkerimäki stepping up with Elias Pettersson out is huge for this team. Young depth shining at the right time. And Irfan from Maple Ridge, with all the guys that are hurt, all the adversity, big L against New York, trailing in this game. Also, somehow they come out to win this game. Give them a lot of credit. We have to give them the credit when it is due.
Yeah, and the season's not over. This is what we were talking about before the game. People were like, you guys got to stop talking about this season. You got to be angry. You got to talk about how they screwed this up. And it's like, okay, we can have those discussions, but let's get to that point still. You know, like, yeah, the Canucks had, what, a 20% chance coming into this game of making the playoffs, of doing something? Yeah, the odds are stacked against them, but let's
know that save... E is next to the name?
Yeah.
And you go.
Or at least where it's, like, very close to. Like, right now, the Canucks are, what, 3 points out of a playoff spot? And they have one game in hand on the Blues. And I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but they win the game in hand, they're 1 point back. And if you're 1 point back, you're in the race still. And that's the whole point. Yeah, I don't feel great about it, especially with the injuries they've had and all the problems that they've gone through and how hard it is for this team to score. But it's not over. They're still in the race. And tonight they prove they're very much still in it with a 4-3 shootout victory over the Devils in New Jersey. Let's take a quick phone call before we hit the break. And let's go to Coquitlam, where we have Paul on the line. Paul, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, guys. Yeah, just wanted to rave about Quinn Hughes. I know you've already been talking about him. But, you know, I've been watching the NHL for, I guess, about 45 years now. And I have never seen any team, not just the Canucks, but in the league, where one player has been so much better than every other player on the team. Like, it is insane the difference between, you know, the average player on the Canucks and Quinn Hughes. It's like he's playing in a different league than the rest of everybody. And actually, I was thinking about this, and I went back and I looked at the numbers. And I don't know if you guys have talked about this, and if you have, I apologize. But so Quinn Hughes obviously leads the Canucks in scoring. That's, you know, not unusual. You've had defensemen in the past lead their team in scoring, like Bobby Orr and some other guys. But the margin with which Quinn Hughes is leading the team, it's 51% right now. If that stays like that at the end of the season, that will be the biggest margin that a defenseman has led his team in scoring in NHL history, going back to 19-whatever. Like, that's insane. And I don't think Canuck fans fully appreciate just what we're watching with Quinn Hughes. This is a generational talent. I don't think there's any debate about him being better than Cale Makar. That is not even an argument in my mind. We're talking about one of the best defensemen in NHL history. He's Bobby Orr level good. So I just wanted to leave that there. Good win, of course. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all run out of superlatives to describe Quinn Hughes's play. And, you know, Quinn isn't perfect, right? Like, he didn't have a perfect game. Like, we can talk about some defensive stuff we'll get to a bit later. But his will to win, his overall effort level, especially these last two games, tremendous. How much? How many minutes do you have tonight? Over
32-17. Which also includes 3 minutes and 27 seconds in overtime. And essentially what they were doing in overtime was, if there was a face-off, he goes off, and he was immediately coming on the minute they got possession. There was even moments when it was Hughes and Hronek out there just to, like, whatever forward was switching out. It was not, oh, forward for forward, whoever's next one up. It was forward for Quinn Hughes,
yeah,
or whoever was coming on.
He was
off
the first guy
for
on
Quinn Hughes
he
every single time.
Yeah, he was the first guy coming on. Didn't matter who was coming off.
And, you know, I liked even in like during the game, the moments where he reset. And I know like it's tougher that way because you now have to go through five guys. But, you know, we see him do it enough where he navigates backwards and just, okay, I'll do this. But to me, that shows a level of consideration that so much responsibility is on me to win this game with all these bodies out. So I'm going to value every possession I have to try to create a goal. So unless it's the look I want, I'll reset it and we'll play for the next look. But to me, it like that's a player constantly thinking about how do I win the game? And if I'm so important in this spot, I'm just not going to just skate it to the red line and dump it in. I've got to make sure every possession is maximized so I have the puck all the time and the game is going to get played at my speed.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Like there is an element of, and we've talked about this too with Quinn in the past, like maybe he's doing a bit too much. Ryan at Fort Mac says, is Hughes trying to do too much? It seemed like there were times he could have passed for a better shot, but ends up going around the net and giving up the puck and done things like that. That's Ryan from Fort Mac texting in. And it's not a bad point. And even talk it acknowledge that, hey, sometimes, you know, he tries to do too much, get other guys involved a little bit. But I'll take that for a team that's too passive, you know, because you need to. And I do think there is something about harnessing it. And you can involve guys a bit better sometimes. But I also think that when you get to a point with this team, when they're so passive so often and nobody's really doing anything, he feels like he has to do a bit more. And I think those things will get figured out as the talent raises and the team plays better and he could trust some of his teammates a bit more. But I'll rather have a guy that's over aggressive as opposed to not being aggressive enough, especially on this team.
On a night like tonight and for the rest of the season, I'm not really going to complain about Quinn Hughes' shot totals.
Or even sometimes holding on to the puck too long or whatever.
You know what? With no Pettersson, no Höglander, no Hedl, you know, Quinn Hughes, if he wanted to play top six forward, Quinn Hughes would be a top six forward on this team.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the scenario right now. And, like, that's not to besmirch, you know, Drew O'Connor, Kiefer Sherwood, Teddy Bluger, all these guys, like Nils Åman, Dakota Joshua. The likelihood Quinn Hughes is going to create a goal than over somebody, those other players, just let Quinn Hughes overhandle it.
Yeah.
Problems may occur with it, but the situation, the dire situation you are in, you're going to have to come up with desperate solutions. And desperate solutions is like, oh, no, Quinn Hughes handles the puck too much. Yeah, he's the MVP. Yeah. Like, I have no problem with him trying to do too much right
now. Yeah, and especially for a team that lacks some offensive ambition, I don't mind mistakes of ambition. And that's kind of what you're seeing from Quinn Hughes. This text says, I didn't think it was possible, but I think Hughes is getting faster and better.
Okay, so, like, that's the thing we talked about last game. As we mentioned, like, he hit a speed of 24.56 miles per hour, which is the fastest this season. Going back in the player tracking data I did over the weekend, it's the second fastest since they've had the data, which is 24.6.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was. But that's the fastest someone has gone. So the thing we used to chat about with Quinn, especially versus Cale Makar, not to bring it a Makar versus Hughes.
Yeah, but I know exactly what you mean.
The comment was always, well, Quinn wins with agility and Makar wins with straight line speed.
And has a bit more power to his game.
Well, if you're clocking 24.56 miles per hour, you're capable of that top speed. That like conversation is no more. And so Quinn's got the power to accelerate to such a high level of speed now.
I think Quinn's better than Makar on his edges. The speed is the same. The two areas I'd say Makar is better at, and one of them, his shot's still more dangerous than Quinn's shot. And the second one is because of he's bigger and a bit stronger than Quinn, he's sturdier defensively. And that's why he also gets the matchups. Like he does play toughs like consistently. Like he has he does play in a high degree of difficulty. That's how difficult his role is. So I think those areas are areas where he has a bit of an edge on Quinn. But you can say Quinn's a better playmaker and Quinn's better on his edges and that Quinn better controls a hockey game. Like, honestly, it's really beauty is in the eye of the beholder for how you want to view which one's better than the other one. But they're both tremendous, and you're absolutely right about the skating. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. We'll get to your phone calls as well, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Canucks win 4-3 in a shootout over the Devils, and more next on the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. More coming up next on the Home of Your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It looked like it was going to be Hughes who jumped over the boards. Instead, it's Jonathan Lekkomäki for the Canucks. He scored in the game, and he can win it now in the shootout. Here is the young sniper, Lekkomäki, wide onto the right wing. Back into the slot on Markstrom, shoots, he scores! Lekkomäki wins it for the Canucks in the shootout. A huge come-from-behind victory. They equalized in the final minute. And Lekkomäki, who scored in the third period, scores in the shootout to give the Canucks the victory, 4-3 in New Jersey.
Massive win for the Vancouver Canucks as Jonathan Lekkomäki couldn't score in the overtime on that final play. But he gets it done in the shootout with the winner, and he has absolutely been celebrated and congratulated by his teammates. One by one, they're going up to him, and just an excellent shot coming straight down Main Street with a little bit of speed. And what I like about this shot is goal scorer's goal. He rips a wrist or blocker side. So much room on that side for him to operate and get that shot off.
What a snipe. Jonathan Lekkomäki gets the shootout winner, giving the Canucks a victory 4-3 over the Devils. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah and Vic Nizar, brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. A lot of reaction on the text inbox, and we'll get to the phone boards coming up in a moment as well, 604-280-0650. But people are very excited on the text inbox, Vic. This one from Aiden in Calgary. I'm impartial with Coach Tocchet and impossible extension, but I will say I loved the move putting two D-men out in OT. We clearly have the talent and balance and really freed Quinn to make some plays. Also loved to have Snatcher back, save the game many times, including that nasty save in OT, Aiden in Calgary. And there were a lot of holding people held their breath with Demko going into the splits to make that save.
Oh, yeah.
And he got back up and he made his saves in his shootout, so he looked like he was no worse for wear on it. But that's a good point by Aiden.
Yeah, it was just good to see Demko back and making those saves. But they don't get to the shootout without that save.
No,
it was really unbelievable.
And we're talking about how getting Quinn out there, but to the point Aiden made, making sure there's a defenseman out there, you free Quinn to do his thing and essentially played as a forward, did whatever he wanted. But yeah, some good work by the Canucks to win this one 4-3 in a shootout. Before we go to the phone boards, Bick, what else are you seeing on the text inbox?
Rob in New West, Hope Talkin' now keeps Lekkomäki in the lineup. This one, Jay and Poco. I'm the Jason Momoa camping chair meme. I mean, anytime anyone is talking about Lekkomäki, the kid has got my attention. Sick shot. Which one is that? Is that the where he walks it into the side of the field and he's
sets
it up?
Yeah,
I think that's the meme. Nevertheless, 650. Look, it is all Lekkomäki love. We're going to talk a lot about him moving forward, but KG feels like this is the graduation game. He's come a really long way since the beginning of the season. His poise is top tier. Two games in a row holding onto the puck with the guy on his back. Defensive positioning. Kid's going to be a stud, especially as he adds some size and strength.
Yeah, also a big assist from Jake DeBrusque, who looked like tied the game with the goal he pulled, but he got a stick on it. Suter gets credited for the goal. Gets a goal in the shootout as well, and KG texted in because I mentioned on the show, and we were talking about guys that step up, and Breach brought up DeBrusque as a guy. Mm-hmm. Need more from him, need him to step up. And I was like, I want to see it too. But to me, he's not one of those play-driving guys that just like I count on a step up. It's like he's going to get his goals when he gets them, but he's like a secondary type of player. And KG texted in, just because you said that, he's going to have a big game. And they didn't quite get the goal, but big game from Jake DeBrusque. Big moment. Came up big in a big moment and scored in the shootout. So he showed me today.
Fantastic shootout goal. Yeah. I like that both he and we had a text here said, give Jesper Bratt some credit as well on his shootout goal. Just two decisive plays by those two guys, right? DeBrusque had one intention. He's like, I'm going to come in with speed. It's going top corner. If you glove it, you glove it. But had some intent going in and just ripped that one. And then, you know, I thought he had a good game. Plus, you know, his work is the one that helps stall Pesci on that initial play up the wall.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
it forces him to turn around. Eventually, he gets to Quinn at the far point.
Yeah.
And they eventually get that goal with, obviously, the Bursk assist, too.
And he made a really good defensive play in overtime. It was when Timo Meier stole the puck from Quinn, I think it was, and then he had to really get on his horse and skate with him, and he bodied him to knock the puck loose. Otherwise, he would have got the corner and had an odd man rush. So I like what he did defensively, too, in overtime.
Last text here. Jordan from Kelowna. First-time texter. What a game. My heart can't take these back-and-forth periods. I believe. That one's from Jordan.
Yeah, I know. There are some of those texts, too, about, like, I'm trying to quit this team, but I can't. So that's how fandom goes. Let's go to the phone boards to start things off in New Jersey, where we have John on the line. John, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight?
How are you doing, guys?
We're doing great. How about yourself?
Great. I just finished watching the game in New Jersey. It was honestly one of the best games I've ever seen. And the Canucks for a long time. And I also went to see the game at MSG. It was criminal offense that the Canucks lost that game. Mm-hmm. They let 5 goals and 12 shots. So the reason I'm calling it today, I think the biggest difference between the two games, obviously, to me, was goaltending. Demko played great today. Lankinen was not too good on Saturday. So, but the boys played great. They had resiliency in both games. And I'm proud of how they're trying to compete and stay in the playoff race despite all this adversity.
Yeah.
Have a great night, guys.
Absolutely, John. Thanks for the phone call. Always good to hear from fans that were at the game. And if you're at that game, the Rangers game, as a Canucks fan at MSG, you're probably just beside yourself. Like, how do you lose this hockey game? Like, you play as well as they did and you lose that game. But the effort these last two cannot be questioned. Let's continue on the phone boards. Let's go to Montreal, where we have Nicholas on the line. Nicholas, thanks for calling in. And what do you have for us after the
Yes, how are you guys doing? I'm calling I'm calling from Montreal. I've been following the Canucks from out east here since 1974, so seen a lot. Anyway, I called in Saturday, but you guys were pressed for time. Calling in Monday as no worries. I mean, the issue I wanted to address was in evidence again tonight, the pretty bad power play. And again, I'm being kind here, and which you can you can devote an entire show to. Given for all the talk of injuries, the NHL's version of Family Feud and all that, this has cost them seemingly countless points in the standings. If someone tells you, oh, can you give me one example? Actually, I can give you 10, but well, we won't do that. That would be like if you devoted an entire show to it. Now, my question to you is this, because I've been stupefied all season. Why is Connor Garland, who I love as a third-line player, okay, we'll throw him in as the, throw him out as the extra attacker or something like that, but why is he consistently out there with the first unit? You know, this is something that baffles me. And Landon Ferraro, after the big win against Winnipeg, where they were 1-for-1 on the power play, Garland did not play that game. He summed it up best. He goes, oh, Lekkermäki, you know, he's got the good shot. He opens up space for others. Exactly. And, okay, so that's Garland doesn't do that. You don't have to really respect his shot. And then the other thing, he's not a net presence, right? So what exactly is he out there doing on, you know, doing out there on the first line? And I come back to last year with Rick Tocchet, fixing a problem that didn't exist. When you're first over on the standings, okay, you chase Kuzmenko out of town, you better be able to get someone to replace his goal, you know, his goal scoring on the power play and his goal capability, and Lindholm wasn't it. And we've seen what's happened since, right? DeBrusk was signed. You hope to see more from him, but if he's not being put on the first unit on the power play, you know, it's hard to score from the bench. So that's basically my question to you, because maybe I'm missing something all of these years. You know, I played organized hockey tournaments, one game against Patrick Roy out there with Guy Carbon. So, you know, you understand the game. So that's my question to you. Why is Connor Garland out there? What am I missing?
Yeah. Hey, great stuff, man. I love the passion. Thanks for your phone call, Nicholas. The main reason
I agree with the question. Nicholas, is you might be preaching to the choir
Hey, listen, I was just nodding along the whole time saying, yeah, no, I completely agree. The reason they like him on the power play is his retrievals. He's really good at digging pucks out on missed shots and passes. He's good on zone entries. He's also a good playmaker.
He holds onto the puck. He can find it.
It makes some plays.
Now, none of that addresses the goal scoring concern that Nicholas brought up. Now, again, to Connor Garland's credit, he's got 6 power play goals this year, okay, which is a career high for him. And while he's not net front, he does try to score the goals near the net, whether it's backdoor tap-ins and Quinn Hughes can find him. But if you're trying to find you know, for you and I, Stat, the five best guys to be out there, you know, Connor Garland's not necessarily the first name we're trying to find amongst those five. So, yeah, you know, for Nicholas's question, like, we'd both rather see Jonathan Lekkermäki out there. And it's puzzling to us when he's not out there.
No, that's exactly how I feel about things. But, you know, those are the reasons why, right? And if you look at the goal rates on the Canucks power play, like, he's still on the ice for the fourth highest goal rate on the power play. And amongst current forwards, he leads. The only forward that has a better rate, well, Bluger, he doesn't play. He's had, he's been on maybe here and there, but JT Miller was not there anymore. So In fairness, but I do agree completely with Nicholas's point, especially with Lekkermäki's shot and how dangerous that can be as well. What else are you seeing on the text inbox here, Bick? We're waiting for the coach, Rick Tocchet, and we'll get to some phone boards coming up in a second. But a lot of people texting in about Connor Garland and saying that he's a board guy that gets dirty. That's what Tyler says. Who else is better retriever for you? And that's part of the problem. They, as good as DeBrusque is, he's not great at the retrievals. That's not Besser's game either. That's something that, you know, JT would still do well on retrievals. He's really good along the boards. That's where Bo excelled. He was good in shooting the puck in the bumper, but it was really good on the retrievals and getting to loose pucks. And they don't have a lot of guys like that on
that
the
first little burst.
Yeah.
Right? When you have to stop, start, redirect, get to the boards. You know, that's kind of Connor Garland's game, right? Because he is so shifty and so quick, he can pivot and accelerate really fast. While Brock does win along the walls, it's not necessarily, you know, short area burst to just get to a spot. So he does provide a certain element of value, but I just think the reward is so much greater if you have a proper shooter there, and just, it opens up lanes for guys. And I actually like on a power play they had, they really moved some players around, and Quinn Hughes was operating from the Elias Pettersson spot and got a seam pass over to Brock Besser, the one that hit the post. So they did a couple of nice little wrinkles today, including, you know, 5-on-5. I know Randy brought this up too. Just where the D-men were positioned, think of where that Marcus Pettersson pass comes from. Think of where that Derek Forbert pass comes from. They were moving the D-men around all evening, even switching sides. Mancini gets sometimes on the left side. The game-tying goal, Quinn Hughes is on the right side on this play. They were doing this all throughout the course of the evening, and it's just a little mechanism because you're lacking offense. How do you create any offense anywhere? And you know, we were chatting about this. Is you got your D-men in shooting positions all the time now.
Yeah.
On opposite sides for one-timers. So
makes a big difference. Opens up space, especially when you have a playmaker like Quinn on the ice too. And when you had Pettersson, now that he's not there, that does obviously, you know, throw a wrench into things. But you saw with the space opening up, if a lane's open, Hughes and Pettersson can pick you apart.
And it's not necessarily something they're going to do all the time, but you just saw it a night like today. They just need more guys who can create something or just find mechanisms to open up something. And that was something they did quite a bit of today with the D-men in the offensive zone.
Yeah. This text says, Canucks playing desperate hockey out there. Cue the Fast and Furious clip. It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning.
That's the scenario.
That's what the game was.
That's
tonight.
All you got to do.
Yeah. A Pew Suter getting some love too. Well, boys, tell us how we need to sign Pew Suter, Big Daddy in the Grove. And somebody was also saying sign Besser and Suter already when they're signing those two guys. Suter's having an incredible season. You know, and PA... says, I'm on a Suter train. Honestly, he's a guy we need in our lineup. Do what you can to sign him, Patrick Alvin. This is what this text message says. I don't know if we can say enough good things about Pew Suter. The question is, how much are you willing to pay Pew Suter? He's got 20. He's going to have if he has 24, 25 goals, I was talking about $3 million or so. Maybe puts him in himself in a position of four.
That number is slowly disappearing really fast.
Yeah, I mean, center, playing up the lineup, scoring goals, playing well defensively too, been good on the PK. Yeah, I mean, with every goal, every point he gets from this point on, it only increases his value.
Again, we've been chatting about the $10 million mark here, total money for him to get. Three and change over 3 years or something like that. And I brought up Jason Dickinson. Now, that was 4.25 for over 2 years. So
Pew Suter's a better player than Jason Dickinson.
But here's the thing. It's like, yeah, okay, that was $8.5 million.
That's only 2 years, right?
But I was only on a two-year deal.
What if you go 4 years and you go to 12? And then it's like, you know, you go three per year over four or four.
For every goal, we'll do the Rick Tocchetism, you know, the cha-ching goal.
Yeah.
It's getting a little bit more. You know, $10 million feels like it was yesterday's price. Today's price is... 13, 14 going up every single goal. If he gets to 25, hey, man, like, congratulations to you, Suter, because a big payday is coming your way if you get to that number. Like, we could easily be talking about a $15 million player. Is that a three-year deal? Is that a 5x3? Right? Like, these are the scenarios that are going to be available to him in the summer.
Yeah. The price just went up.
Yeah. Yeah. Price of the brick going up.
It went up. All right, let's take a quick phone call here before we hit the breaks. Let's go to Richmond, where we have Jody on the line. Jody, thanks for calling in. And what are your thoughts here tonight?
Great game tonight, guys. Thank you very much for taking my call. I've gone to a couple of Abbotsford games this year, and boy, is that ever a great team. And that is great that they have the Abbotsford Canucks to draw on to help them in this part of the season. I mean, look at their lineup tonight. You got Carlson, you got Lekker Mackey, you've got a few other guys there too. You got Ullman, you've got what do you guys think of that? The way Abbotsford is being able to up for the Canucks.
Hey, appreciate the phone call. Thanks, Jody. And you're right. I mean, it's been fun watching the Abbey Canucks because a lot of the young players have had success. And we'll break down the young guys a bit more with the goals, too. But I thought Ratu acquitted himself really well defensively. I thought Ullman had a very expansive game. I thought tonight he tried and did a lot of things. It wasn't quite as effective making that final play and being dangerous. But I thought his effort level was tremendous. And I thought by his standards, he was really trying to elevate. And I appreciated that about him. Lekker Mackey kind of stole the show. Mancini isn't an Abbey guy. He only played a few games there, right? We can't attribute his, you know, rise to Abbotsford.
But there's a lot of young guys in the lineup here.
Yeah, but I really like Mancini's game. We'll talk more about that. Mm-hmm. But I thought him tonight, like, he was really trying to impact the game offensively when he had a chance, and I thought he acquitted himself well. But the Abbey guys played well tonight.
Yeah, I mean, headlined by Lekker Mackey, but, you know, this is the philosophy of this regime. They did it in Pittsburgh. It just takes a little bit of time, obviously, to have the guys come through your system and then bring them in. Not that it's going to save the season or anything right now, but the longer time this group is here and the more development work, you know, next year you're going to start seeing the benefits of it. Here comes Atu Ratu. Here comes Lekker Mackey. It just takes time and, you know, college free agents, whatever it is, to get them into your system and have them grow. Like the path, you know, Patrick Alvina has always talked about this. Like, they like players that are dedicated to the long path. Teddy Bluger, most notably, you know, undrafted, and you work your way through it. If they're patient with their guys, you'll see some rewards from it.
The young guys also good in the faceoff circle tonight. Atu Ratu, 9-2 for 82%. Niels Ullman, 4-0, 100% of his faceoff. So good work by those two guys in the dot. We'll get to more of your thoughts, and we are going to hear from the Canucks head coach. That is next on the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting after a 4-3 Canucks win in a shootout over the Devils. More next on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd
and Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650,
and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Garland left corner, leaned on by Heischer, got it to Suter behind the net, rims it back to the far point for Quinn Hughes, 40 seconds left. Hughes with room, high slot, got a shot away, hit the post, rebound to the crease, they score! Jake DeBrus parked in front, ties the game for the Canucks in the final minute. It's 3-3 with 34.7 seconds remaining.
Last gasp by the Vancouver Canucks here, as yet again, Quinn Hughes gets the puck through from the point. And it looked like New Jersey was going to be able to clear the zone for half a second, but an excellent job to find the middle of the ice by Quinn Hughes. And the puck is in the blue paint. It's loose. And Jake DeBrus gets it through, but Connor Garland's right in the blue paint. And I think this is a good goal. Even though New Jersey was complaining after the play, the net was knocked off its moorings after the puck went off. The puck crossed into the net and passed the red line.
Canucks win 4-3 in a shootout and a big late tying, game tying goal from Pew Suter to help the Canucks win a big one tonight. Two goals from Pew Suter in a 4-3 Canucks win as they continue to stay in this Western Conference playoff race. And keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We'll take more of your text messages, and we'll try to take some of your calls. We'll hear from the head coach as soon as that audio gets posted and is available for us to bring that to you from New Jersey. And in a game like this where you needed something magical, the Canucks did get it, and it almost felt like it was going to follow the New York Rangers script, Bic, and we'll get to the goals here too, and we'll break them down before we get to the coach, because they played so well early, had the lead, probably should have had more, but only had the one goal lead. New Jersey comes back, and all of a sudden you find yourself trailing in this game, and they come and tie it. Lekkomäki scores, and then the Devils score again. You're like, oh, is that going to be it? But they get that goal, right, to get to overtime. So it didn't follow the same script. But let's get to the first goal of the game. And it was Pugh Suterbick bringing the Canucks on the board. And I guess it is fitting that he's the guy that got things going and ended up tying the game. But he's having a magical season for the Canucks.
Yeah, this was his 21st of the season. Extra effort to win the faceoff back to Marcus Pettersson. And Pettersson just works down the wall and slides it inside. And, you know, there was a play earlier, just minutes before this, where Hughes was coming down that wall and darted inside, went around the net. And you could see the immediate reaction to that, because Nico Hischier in this moment with Marcus Pettersson coming down the wall now holds that post and kind of goes down to one knee to take away any path to the inside. But in doing that, left space for Pugh Suter to peel backwards into the slot. And Marcus Pettersson hits it, and he deposited it in.
Yeah, so just some really nice work, and the Canucks take the 1-0 lead in this game. But the New Jersey Devils in the second period come back on the power play, and the first power play that New Jersey had, it was the Vancouver Canucks having too many men on the ice. The second one was Teddy Bluger taking down Tomas Tatar. Now he does get the puck, he knocks the puck, but he knocks
in his motion, he lowers his hand.
Yeah,
and the shaft goes against the
skates. And the rule no longer is if you get puck first, like that used to be the rule, that's no longer the rule. So he ends up getting called for tripping. There was some people being upset about the play. You could say, like, maybe you don't call that because he got the puck, it was a clean play, but it's one of those 50-50
I don't
ones.
Think that should be a penalty, but yeah. I don't write the rule book, and the rule book is a certain way.
Yeah, and that gets called more than 50% of the time, so I can't be mad about that one, but it's one of those, you know, discretion-wise, sure, we can debate it all we want, but nonetheless, can't give New Jersey cheap penalties, because they're one of the top power plays in the league, and they made it pretty evident on that power play opportunity, which leads to Dawson Mercer finding Timo Meier, who gets two cracks at it.
The PK has been so good here recently. I just wonder if there's miscommunication here or a lack of communication in this particular moment, because when the Devils have the puck on the wall, it just feels like a couple of mistakes lead to bigger mistakes here in the situation, because Myers is on that right side of the ice and his stick is in the middle protecting a pass to the bumper, but there's nobody in the bumper. And Kiefer Sherwood's stick is to the top of the zone, but there's no one there because it's Bratt who's come down the wall who's just vacating the space Kiefer Sherwood's trying to protect. Eventually the bumper guy comes into that space, but it just feels a bit premature. And then there's access for Bratt to pass it to the net front to Dawson Mercer. And Marcus Pettersson's got to come around. And he's looking behind him. And he can see Timo Meier. Maybe doesn't signal. Maybe doesn't shout to Drew O'Connor to go over there. And Mercer gets this puck. He's able to send it cross crease to Timo Meier. And Meyer's first shot goes off O'Connor's skate right back to him. And he's able to score that one. I thought Marcus Pettersson could have done a better job net front as well. Like, this is where he's supposed to win. And Dawson Mercer's in this spot stationary and is able to make a play across crease to Timo Meier on this goal.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that one, it's a bit of a harder play to make, especially because Mercer has his back to him and kind of anchors himself, and he has a right-hand shot.
It's a really good play by Dawson Mercer.
It's a tough one, but I get what you're saying. You know, it's one of those moments. You mentioned Drew O'Connor. I like to see a guy go through a guy. Mm-hmm. Like Drew O'Connor does a lot of good things. His speed, his forechecking, great defensive smarts, has shown some, you know, goal-scoring depth touch too. But he's not very physical. I like to see him go through guys, because if he plays the body on Meier, he doesn't get the rebound. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I want to see him do a bit more. But nonetheless, it is Timo Meier tying the game for the New Jersey Devils. And the third period, it is Timo Meier giving the Devils the 2-1 lead here, Bic. And this one just happens straight after a faceoff.
Yeah. No,
it's not this one, sorry.
It's in the O-zone.
It's in the O-zone.
Starts there, and Hughes sweeps the puck low, and you can just see this. Hronek on the other side, as the puck gets rimmed around, starts to creep low.
Yeah.
Anticipating a battle or some support there, and it comes quickly to the Devils, and Hischier in that time sneaks in behind, and Hronek skating backwards, never really catches up to Hischier. So that pass up the wall is given to Hischier. There's your entry. And, you know, Hughes kind of does the same thing Tyler Myers did the other game.
Gets
really close to Filip Hronek. And that pass initially comes across to Brendan Dillon. He gets an awkward shot off, but it goes off the backboards, bounces perfectly to Timo Meier. And Demko is going from right to left, is never going to recover in time. And Timo Meier able to put the team up.
This is, we were talking about Quinn earlier, and I said, hey, he was great tonight. He wasn't perfect, but he was great. And somebody was giving me grief on social media saying, don't diminish how great Quinn Hughes is. He's a generational talent. You know, don't nitpick at him. It's like, no, I mean, it's just defensively, it was a couple of moments. And on that play, wasn't his best moment of the game, but he was tremendous in every other area. But nonetheless, ends up giving the Devils the lead. Now, one thing I liked a lot about the Canucks, and you saw it on the first goal they scored, going to the middle of the ice. That's where Pugh Suter was. Marcus Pettersson found him. They had a couple chances in the first period where they played a low to high pass. Ratu in the middle, that got a chance. Lekkerimäki had one a bit earlier, too. And they did a good job of kind of attacking that open space. And Lekkerimäki attacks open space beautifully here, Bick, to be able to get the goal. Derek Forbert also, he's made some nice sneaky defensive plays. I know you want to start this all the way
offensive
back
plays.
He's made some really good, nice offensive plays, Derek Forbert, a beautiful assist here. But I know you want to talk about even going back before that for the zone entry and the work Lekkerimäki did there too.
Yeah, just say that. I don't even know if we have enough time to talk about Lekkerimäki in this play. Because, you know, one of the things we talk about when we mentioned, like, oh, wingers for Elias Pettersson, who are they going to get? You know, one of the things I want is someone that's clever away from the puck.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want a high-volume shooter, of course, and someone to make the retrievals, but someone who's clever away from the puck. We saw Tyler Toffoli in a brief sample do it, and it works so well. So this play, at some point, Lekkerimäki's in the top right because they've shifted the D-men. Marcus Pettersson's on coming to the left. Forbert's in the bottom corner, obviously. And you watch this. Lekkerimäki, as he's cycling to that right point, he drifts really far, and he goes into the blind spot of Jesper Bratt and creeps down low far enough that Jesper Bratt has to look on his left shoulder. He's like, okay, I know where he is. He's going to go up the wall as this play's coming up the wall on the other side. And so everything Lekkerimäki is showing to Bratt is, I'm going down the wall.
Yeah.
And as soon as his head turns, he changes his body's position, and now he's darting to the slot. And you see Bratt look over the other shoulder to the wall, and there's nobody there.
And then Johnny's on the spot.
And he's literally Johnny on the spot. And this is a minute shift now for Bratt. And like, just a clever little play like this allows him to get inside. And, you know, Bratt's still trying to recover. He kind of gets a stick on stick. But just that little sliver in tight space and half-court offense opens up the space for Lekkerimäki to get that goal.
Yeah, great stuff from him. Eric Hollis scores off a face-off win. Now, we'll talk maybe about this a bit more after, but Teddy Bluger loses the face-off, hasn't been good in the circle tonight, and then Hollis just bangs in a rebound.
Bangs it in, and a quick shot there from the wall from Dumoulin, and then DeBrusque, or Suter, gets the winner. We'll get into that on the other side.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and the three stars, plus more of your texts, and we'll hear from the Canucks head coach, plus Ian McIntyre, on the Canucks Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment, on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and postgame on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show
on the official home of the Canucks,
Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Back to Quinn Hughes, under 3 minutes left in overtime. Canucks and Devils tied at three. And Quinn Hughes has it behind his own net. Fires a stretch pass for Besser off the bench. Partial break, right wing. He got a shot on, stopped by Markstrom. Besser sends the rebound in front. Luke Hughes cleared it from the goal mouth away from Jake DeBrusque. And Jesper Bratt's back to center. Cotter trying to catch up. Bratt in front for Cotter is robbed by Demko. Full stretch into the splits. The Canuck netminder keeps the game alive with an unbelievable stop in overtime. Paul Cotter cannot believe it, and it's still 3-3.
He's back. Thatcher Demko with an unbelievable save going from left to right. This happens after an excellent stretch pass by Quinn Hughes to Brock Besser. And Luke Hughes picks up the rebound after that and sends Jesper Bratt on a 2-on-1. Bratt makes the pass to Cotter, and going left to right, Demko absolutely stones Paul Cotter.
Massive win for the Canucks, 4-3 in a shootout over the Devils, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network, Sat and Bic. And we'll get to some of your thoughts coming up in a moment, trying to squeeze everything into the show because the game obviously went long into a shootout. We'll see if we get the audio for the Canucks head coach's discussion with the media postgame. Don't have anything posted quite yet or sent to us, so we await that. But we mentioned the goal the Canucks scored, Pew Suter, his second of the night, to tie things up with the goalie pulled. And the Canucks to call the timeout to be able to do that as well, Bic. And it's one of those where they had a bit more push with the goalie pulled in this game than they did with that, than the game against the St. Louis Blues, where they did nothing and then they found one moment. But you crash the net and you get to the middle, good things happen. And that was a theme tonight. They got to middle a lot. And I'm curious if we get to hear the thoughts of the Canucks head coach, but that's where the Canucks excelled. They got to the middle and they made them pay.
Yeah, you know, throughout the course of the evening and that last one, that last goal, it's like a lot of good work to hold that puck up from Brett Pesce and force him to go the other direction. And eventually it comes to Hughes at that far post, at that far point. And, you know, he works to the middle of the ice, gets that shot off. Initial shot goes off the post, but there's the scramble. There's the effort to get in front. And, you know, you can go through a handful of plays to get to that middle of the ice. You know, we mentioned the Suter goal, the Lekker-Mackey goal. You know, there was other, like, Suter was on top of the crease a bunch of times. Nils Åman was at top of the crease.
Yeah.
You know, he almost had a goal as well. So, like, they did a really good job of working down low and trying to get that pass out front. And, you know, the way this team is built, if they're not a rush team, and if you want to, you know, value playing off the boards, then I'd like to see them get the puck down low way more often than they do.
Yeah, and I think when they get there, especially with some of the plays Garland can make low to high, like every game it seems like he's picking two or three. And Hughes, when he digs, when he ends up diving deep like that, he can create down low to high passes too. And tonight, they had a number of those looks.
Now, that's not me saying like more chip and chase and all that.
But no, it's it doesn't have to be chip and chase. You can also get low with possession.
Correct.
You can work a puck down low.
And that's the frustration of why they've always sent it back up to the point and okay, now we'll go to the net. You know, they're a team that can be built on close quarters passing, and if they can win that way, that might be your edge right now.
Yeah, we'll see if they can continue to generate the way they did, but they got that goal, and obviously Jonathan Lekker-Mackey and Jake DeBrusk both score in a shootout. Great goal from Jesper Bratt as well, but the Canucks victorious here tonight. Two big points, and like Fawn says, Utah blowing it tonight against the Wings. They're losing, will go on to lose this hockey game here, unless they score three goals in 2 minutes, which I guess could happen. They're down. But nonetheless, it looks like they're going to lose.
Don't jinx anything right now.
I'm just saying. But if this result holds, the Canucks will be 3 points up on Utah with the same amount of games played. The Canucks clearly in an advanced spot there. And Fonz mentions, you know, if the Blues lose tomorrow, now the Blues have won six in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They're red hot right now. So we'll see if they will lose or not. But if they lose and the Canucks win their two games in hand at that point,
that puts you in the spot.
They'll put you ahead of them. Now, Calgary has two games in hand on Vancouver. They're 1 point back. They win both. It can be three up. So still a lot of work left for the Canucks to do. Plus, Bic, they need some help as well. So we'll see how it goes for those other teams. But yes, not a good result so far for the Canucks as far as Utah is concerned. And let's get to the three stars, especially after we broke the three goals down. And the three stars are brought to you by Angry Otter Liquor Shop. Angry Otter Liquor's three stars, beer, wine, and spirits. And the third star of the game tonight, Bic, is Quinn Hughes. Played over 30 minutes, impacted the game in every facet. And you know, somebody texted in and said, we're running out of ways to describe Quinn Hughes, but he's incredible. I don't know what else we can say about him.
Yeah, he's been unreal. 32 minutes and 27 seconds tonight for Quinn Hughes. Sorry, 32-13. Six shots on goal, another nine attempts total.
Picks up an assist.
Yeah, picks up the assist, obviously, on the game-tying goal there at the end of the game, a 52nd assist of the game. He's a phenom.
Yeah, he's incredible. So he gets a third star. Timo Meier gets a second star of the game for the Devils. Two big goals, almost had a third one. You know, sometimes he can be quiet, but when he's on, he can play a loud game, and this was a loud Timo Meier performance tonight.
Yeah, he managed to get the two goals. I don't know how thrilled they are with him in New Jersey. It was like a big trade deadline acquisition one year and big contract, obviously. But he's still got so many skills. And
he's a big body. He skates fast and he can shoot the puck.
Yeah, he's in the right spot in a couple of goals here tonight and gets two.
You know what the funny thing is, though? Brock Besser has a very similar scoring profile to Timo Meier, and that's what makes it so fascinating. You look at the money that Meier got paid, and he's obviously, you know, in a position where he's already making $9 million or so, but, I mean, Besser has more goals than Timo Meier this year.
So, again,
Besser, you know, like,
I
so
always bring up
those things.
I always bring up Besser's production argument, right, yeah. As far as, like, what the dollar value goes. He has outpaced Timo Meier in every statistical feat.
Yeah.
Now, Timo Meier happens to be...
He's hit 30 goals three different times.
Yes, but he also happens to be a large, fast, strong player. Like, he's got all the traits.
Well, the thing is, size-wise, they're not too dissimilar. Both guys are 6'1". He's a bit heavier. He's just really fast.
He's really fast.
Really fast.
And I don't know, he looks bigger.
He does. He plays a bit more imposing. There's no doubt about it.
But he's got all the traits, and he signed a huge deal. But if production is king, you know, Brock's got a way better... statistical profile to argue for more money.
Yeah, he does. But we'll see ultimately what he ends up getting. But he's not held in the same respect as Timo Meier, though, right? Despite the numbers being very similar, if not even better for him at times. And the first star of the game.
So just really quickly on the contract and all that sort of stuff. Timo Meyer's contract then is equivalent to like a $10 million contract now.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the scenario we're talking about. If Brock's more valuable, by today's number...
But he's not getting that.
No, he's not getting... I'm just saying, like, if someone at some point valued Timo Meier at a point to give him 10.5% of the cap.
Yeah.
That's... If you're Brock, you're like, hey, someone's done this before, and I've outproduced that guy.
Yeah, but you're not getting that, though. That's the thing. And that's going to be fascinating to see ultimately how much he signs for. But the first star of the game is Pugh Suter. He also needs a contract. We talked about him a bit earlier. But cha-ching, like the head coach says. 22 goals now in the campaign. Two big ones tonight. Opened the scoring and tied the game. Big performance from Pugh Suter. Lout Titans fan says, Timo can skate, Brock can't. Yes, I mean, the big difference is skating. And he can skate. I'd say it's unfair to say he can't skate. He's just not fast. So we'll see how it goes. Are we getting closer to finding some audio here from the Canucks head coach, Bick? You're working on it.
Yeah, we're doing some work here.
You were doing some work. We have to get it sponsored. We have to get it in.
We will get it in.
And we'll get to IMAC coming up in a moment as well. Somebody's asking us, what time are you guys going to tonight? We're going to 9. So... We'll push it to all the way to 9.
Yeah. We'll do this as long as we can.
A lot of reaction on the text inbox. 650. This one here's from David the City Worker. Remember when Hansen always says guys lower down the lineup can step up for a few games, but then they usually fall off. So let's see what these guys can do. And that's going to be the thing. Like you can get these performances. Can you sustain them? And the big news being today that, you know, Elias Pettersson and Nils Höglander are both going to be out for the rest of this road trip. That's a big one. And, you know, you have that big game coming up on Wednesday. I said Thursday earlier. Wednesday, Canucks play the New York Islanders on the road.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday week.
Yeah. We're used to the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday weeks, but we've had these a few times this year. But that's a big game coming up against the Islanders. And can these guys who played so valiantly tonight and deserve the victory find a couple more of these and then hope that you get one or two of those other guys healthy when you return, and maybe Filip Hedl too?
The benefit of the Rangers game and into this one of, oh, will that effort translate? There's no travel, right? It's Rangers, New Jersey, Islanders. So you're just staying in that area. If you don't have to travel, can you have another red line game where you're really, really going after it and able to hold out for... some sort of level of getting some points here.
Yeah, and it's a tough one, right? So it's you have to find a way to get through these games, and I'm not sure the horses are good enough to last through it, but you get performances in goal like this, you get Quinn Hughes playing the way he can, and hockey is silly sometimes, right? Like we saw the Canucks lose some games that deserve to win. All of a sudden, you just get on a bit of a roll, win a few. Anything is possible. That's why you can't say season's over, right? But it's such a difficult challenge.
When there's only 10 games left, right, you're not going to get smooth results. Over the course of 82, the right thing should happen and all it should work its way out. But in 10 games, like again, St. Louis, they're getting hot at the right time. Winners of 6 here propels them into this playoff spot. A short sample run here can solve a lot of ills over the course of 82. And if you get it right here for these last 11 games, whatever it is that you got to do to get in, you're looking okay. Like one hot streak could put you in.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that's what it comes down to more than anything else. And can you get hot? And that's the big thing. New West Nick says, I hope the Canucks build a roster that makes Quinn stay because he gets better each year and hasn't reached his peak yet, which is scary. And I mean, we're talking about a guy in his mid-20s. Like, I think he can
this
find another
peak.
This may
be the beginning of his peak.
Yeah, sure, beginning of it, but I don't think he's like fully peaked yet. Like, I still think there's more in his game. I think he can get a bit more strength. I think there's just more intelligence defenders pick up. Like, the way they defend gets better with some time.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's clearly getting faster and quicker. His shot's been getting better. I don't know if it's going to stop getting better. I still think there's at least another level left.
That'd be cool. Man, that'd be wild.
I don't know if there's like multiple levels. I think there's one more.
I think like the largest hurdles have been cleared, and now it's just like a slow ascent to the peak.
I mean, you're trying to fine tune to perfection now.
Yes,
that's where you're at. You know, you're trying to attain perfection, which is unattainable. Nobody's going to attain it. But that's what we're talking about with Quinn. It's not about, hey, prove you're one of the best players. It's like, prove you are the best and one of the best ever. That's like what he's trying to get to. For Quinn, right? And I do think he's capable of doing something along those lines as well. We're not sure we're going to get to the Canucks head coach, Bick, but we might get to a Canuck player. So we can go to the podium at some point. I'm just not quite sure which one.
No, we'll get it in. We'll get it in.
A podium.
No, we'll get the coach at some point. We're going to end the show without hearing from Coach?
I mean, I don't want to.
Yeah, so we'll...
Bick is trying to make me stay overtime.
Yeah.
You're not the boss.
Tonight I am. Everyone's injured. Someone's got to step up.
Well, I'm not going to read that text. I'll leave that alone. How long is Hedl in concussion protocol? And I mean, it's really based on the situation. Like, I don't even think concussion protocol in the NHL is no longer like has to be 7 days. It doesn't quite work like that really anymore. Like, there isn't like set times on it. You have to be careful given his history of concussions. He had 4 with the New York Rangers before coming over, at least. So you have to be extra careful. But I'd say he should be able to come back here at some point before the season ends. But it's hard to say. Like, when it comes to concussions, somebody who's had him in the past, it's impossible to try to figure out, you know, when he's going to come back and when he's going to be okay.
Should we hear from some of the players? All right.
We have head coach Rick Tocchet. Just play a straight off. Let's do it here. We'll get to it coming up in a second. But we have the head coach. We'll try to get.
All right. Let's just go to a couple of texts here before we are all set up there. We're everything behind the.
All right, we have it now. All right.
Okay.
Let's go to the podium. Here's Rick Tocchet, brought to you by Tiletown.
Well, Rick, maybe after just the last two games, talk about the relief of grabbing the win tonight and what you saw from your group.
Yeah, it was kind of like a little bit, you know, they made a push and then we came back. It was just one of those games. The guys were, you know, even after they scored off the faceoff, I thought the guys were pretty positive on the bench. So that's nice. You know, obviously get the 6-on-5 goal is a big confidence boost. And then thought overtime we had some good chances. So, it was a gutsy effort by the guys.
And having Thatcher Demko back, obviously he hasn't played since February. How much of a boost did that give the team?
Well, I mean, he's the save in overtime. That's Thatcher. Just really proud of him. You know, it's been a tough 6 weeks for him, and, you know, I think he's on the right track. Didn't have many practices. You know, that's hard to do. Like, you know, it's not like he's had a lot of team practices to go in there, and he had to play in overtime. So made some post saves. So, he was terrific for us tonight.
With LeCaire Mackey and the performance he had tonight, are you seeing what you need to see from him?
Yeah. I got to, you know, trying to get him some chemistry with some guys, obviously, we're thin at the center position, so I've got to try to find some more minutes for him. Two beautiful shots for us. You know, that I like the second, obviously, overtime shootout was great, but that other one is a goal scorer's goal. Like, it was that, to me, that was an impressive one for me.
What do you like about Suter?
Well, he's been, you know, for the couple of years I've been here, he's really played good hockey for me. I've moved him up and down the lineup, first line. He's been the second line. He's been fourth line. He's been everywhere. Obviously, his brain, smart guy. He's a system guy. He's actually like another assistant coach for us.
Lecker Mackey in the shootout, was that planned or is that just spur of the moment hunch?
That was a gut feeling, not by me. I think it was Marco. I can't take credit for that. I think Marco was radioed to Yogi, let's go with Lecker Mackey. So obviously a great choice.
Marco's role in that. I didn't know Marco had a role in that.
Well, usually the goalie coaches have a lot of input with shootouts. And then you watch practice and things like that. I mean, the guy's a gifted goal scorer, so, you know, why not? You know, we were best was next, so, you know, you want a couple of shooters in there.
How do you think this team on an even keel going forward now?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's, you know, we're trying to find consistency from the club. You know, we've had a good effort against Rangers. I thought, you know, pretty good again tonight. So, I mean, can we get some consistency? You know, we've got some new guys in, some guys from Abbey. So, you know, and we're hanging in there. That's what we're trying to do.
You get positivity, obviously, from a game like this. But how big is the struggle when you have games like Saturday and then you fell further behind on Sunday because St. Louis won? Just to try to keep guys believing and keep them positive and not let them look at the
stage. Yeah. Well, I think it's got a little to do with coaching, too. Like, you know, after you lose the game, you know, coaches, you know, you can't be walking around the next day, you know, upset and mad. You really got to get back to the teacher mode, get back in energy mode, and give guys confidence. Because if it's December and you're you know, you don't like what's going on, you could be a little harder on the players. Right now, it's really, you got to let it go. I thought the guys did a nice job of letting the Ranger game go. Yeah, we had some. I thought we defended well. They had the puck a lot on the outside. They were rimming a lot of pucks back and forth. But I thought we defended the middle pretty good. It was a low volume, especially early. But I thought the guys did a nice job of hanging in there.
You think of Ratu, who's very good in the faceoff circle again. What do you think of him?
Yeah, I think of the faceoff. He's really good. We still got to work with him in our own end, and you know, he's got to, you know, we got to just down low and know where to go. I think it's more of like. It's a fast league up here, so we got to figure it out. But I, you know, obviously the Drazi's really good. Yes.
Talk is Lankinen sick or?
Yeah, he didn't feel that great against the Ranger game, and he muscled through it. So it's good to get him a couple of days off.
Okay. Do you think he's going to be available to play or back up on Wednesday?
I think he will, but I'll know more tomorrow. I'm not going to speculate. I've been getting in trouble from you guys. I'm just going to say I don't know.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet after a 4-3 shootout win over the New Jersey Devils. And Rick Tocchet at the podium is brought to you by Tile Town. Proudly Canadian-owned and operated since 1971, visit any of their three locations and talk to their in-house design consultants or visit them online at mytiletown.ca. Big performance for the Canucks tonight, and the coach mentioned that you have to kind of let it go. You can't be, you know, upset about the losses. Not in December. You have to move on to the next one and be energetic. And he talked about the guys being able to let go of that Rangers loss the other night.
Yeah, and I like the framing. You know, only handful of games right now. You start getting negative. Is it going to bleed into the next performance here, essentially? So
you can't sacrifice any points, right? You can't sacrifice, you know, a game for the greater message. Like, it's every game is must win.
You only got 22 points available left the rest of the way. And you've got to try to get as many as you can, obviously, especially in contrast with what St. Louis is doing right now. So, you know, we're talking about getting 7 wins here. In these last 11, that's the task that they got to do at bare minimum.
Yeah,
to put you at 92.
Yeah,
so it's going to be very, very difficult and challenging.
Yeah, and no doubt about that. All right, let's go to the man who's at the scene. We call him the triple threat. You watch him on TV, read him on digital, but to hear him on radio, he is Ian McIntyre.
No, I don't think I've ever been more famous than I was on the New Jersey Transit train from Newark back to Penn Station tonight because it was filled with Canuck fans.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
That's been a fun journey.
Who all wanted to talk about the game. Well, people were in a good mood.
Yes.
You know, and obviously not all Canuck fans from Vancouver, but there was a lot out tonight. It was I was surprised before the game, and there was quite a cheer at the end when Vancouver won, and then 1,000 people got on the train and came back to Manhattan.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great night for Canucks fans because we got a call from John who was at the game, and he said he went to the Rangers game and he couldn't believe they lost that game despite of how well they played. So I'm glad the Canucks fans that went to both games got to see the victory here. And as far as the performance from the Canucks, it looked like a real valiant, gutsy effort from the team. Is that what it was like in person too?
Yeah, but honestly, Sad, I think it's been that way for a while. Like if you had this level of buy-in and this level of effort from the start, and no team is going to be, whatever they're capable of, no team is going to be at their best for 82. But the effort that the Canucks have had the last while has been so much more consistent, more even, right? There's the games like Saturday where they make critical mistakes and they lose, and those were defensive mistakes against the Rangers in the third period. But they still outshot New York 39-12. There was no issue about the effort itself, and there hasn't been an issue about the effort for this team for a while. It's just, you know, they're missing so many pieces, and even if they're healthy right now, you wonder if they would have enough up front, given, you know, the limitations on Pettersson, even though he was playing better before this latest injury. Even if you had Cheadle in the lineup and not concussed, with how he wasn't getting anything done offensively, I think they'd still be in tough to make it. But now, you know, missing those guys, and of course this was Thatcher Demko's first game back in 6 weeks. Like, the effort that they're putting forth is pretty impressive. I don't see how anybody cannot be impressed by just how much this team is trying. It's just, you know, they have so little margin for error with the lineup that they have, and now they have so little margin for error in the standings. But tonight was a good night. It kind of at least flushes the morale, or I shouldn't say flushes the morale. It pumps up the morale after the morale was crushed by that result on Saturday. And I could tell you that, like, the players, not all losses are created equally, and that was a really hard loss for everyone, including the players, to accept. And I think, you know, tonight now they'll have a little more bounce in their step, but they got to, as Bick says, they got to keep going. I don't think seven wins will be enough. The way St. Louis is going, St. Louis could end up in the mid to high 90s for points. I mean, the Canucks, by the way, they're the only team that's taken a point off St. Louis in the last six games, in the Blues' last six games. So even that is kind of an indication of what level the Canucks are putting out on the ice each night. But it's a question whether it'll be enough. And they're certainly playing on slim odds now, or long odds. But tonight helps. Tonight was good.
P.U. Suter keeps doing the thing. You know, Rick Tocchet mentioned ka-ching goal the other day, and now he's up to 22 all of a sudden. But, you know, with all the injuries and all the guys out of the top six, like, his output becomes so highlighted because he's basically the number one center now.
Well, he is the number one center, and he was playing in overtime. He's the first out on the penalty kill. He's now playing the power play. And I've been a little bit surprised, and I haven't checked with Puce since the trade deadline, but I've been a little bit surprised how little discussion there has been over re-signing Puce Suter and what his future is. Now, I understand typically, you know, he's the kind of guy, he's going to be coming off a 2-year contract. You probably think, well, you can get round to him eventually and he'd be happy to take a 3-year deal for something. But the more goals he keeps scoring and the more pronounced his role is at the toughest time of the regular season, you know, I think his price isn't getting any lower, let's put it that way, with what's been happening. And you know, there's been some, despite all the upheaval, there have been some some good news stories this season for the Canucks. Obviously, everyone knows about Lankanen, but there's Kiefer Sherwood as well, and there's Pew Suter, and there's some other guys. And you know, right now, especially with the way this organization is at center, the you know, the not knowing exactly what's, you know, going to happen with Pettersson and whether he's going to be able to recover and be that super elite player that they're paying him to be, the uncertainty over Hedl and his future with his history, serious history of concussions. I don't think Pew Suter's a guy that they can afford to let get away unless, you know, they pull another rabbit out of their hat in free agency. And you got to give the team credit for that. I mean, the Pew Suter signing was marvelous management. They got him, much like Lankanen, they got him at their price, and it's worked out great for them. He's obviously not going to be as cheap or as overlooked on July 1st as he was 2 years ago.
No, he certainly won't. And, you know, as far as the injuries are concerned, too, I guess we'll find out when the team comes back to Vancouver. But I think the question is, can these guys hold it together for the rest of this road trip until maybe reinforcements come back? I mean, it doesn't seem very good that Pettersson and Hoglander were sent home today.
No, it doesn't. And talk it, I know that you had to wait a while to get the audio from the Canucks, but you know, he referenced injuries after the game, that from now on he's just going to say I don't know, because he gave an indication yesterday that, well, he's not ruling them out for this game, and not only are they ruled out for this game, they're ruled out for the rest of the road trip. So it's an incredible challenge to go with what they've got. I think Nils Åman is playing his best hockey, but think about the fact that Nils Åman is the third line center now, and Teddy Bluger's the second line center, and you know, Pew Suter is the first line center, and the fourth line center today was Ratu, who, you know, was terrific on faceoffs. Tockett talked about how there's other parts of his game that they need to teach him about where to be, but this is what they're, you know, this is basically what they're going with. You can't bring anyone in. They've tried all the guys that they have. Maybe we see Max Sasson again, but this is what they have, which is why it's so critical that they continue to get sort of that character and grit and relentless effort that they've had the last few games, because it's essential now. They just don't have enough that they can have some guys off or have any passengers or have games where they just sort of tiptoe in and aren't fully invested from the start. So we'll see. I mean, the one thing that I guess is in their favor is that, you know, the games are spaced. This, for a 6-game road trip, the travel is not hard because, you know, they've got the 3 games here in New York. They're in one place for, I think, 5 nights. And the teams that they're playing, well, until the end in Winnipeg, certainly the first, the middle four, they've all had got their issues. You know, they've all in some way have been scuffling themselves, either now or fairly recently. So, I mean, the games are winnable, but they have to be all in and execute close to the best of their ability, again, because there's just so little margin for error.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ian, margin for error does not apply to you, and I look forward to reading your latest on sportsnet.ca. I know it's midnight out west, out east, but I'm sure you're not finished writing yet.
I haven't started writing yet.
There you go. So you have time, though.
So I have no margin for error either, because I got to get filed in the next 90 minutes or so. So
all right. Well, good luck.
It's only 1,000 words. How hard could it be? I've done it. I've done it, about 2,000 times covering games. It must be more than that. 3,000 maybe?
Yeah, probably.
Anyways, I've done it a lot. Hopefully it'll go smoothly tonight.
Live stream it so we can see the heroic effort.
I will not do that. Although I will say, if you were watching the game on Prime, they were doing their stand-up intro, right before the game, and luckily out of the corner of my eye, I saw them because I was down at the glass watching the warm-up. Otherwise, I'd have been in the back of the shot and possibly eating something.
No.
So. You don't need any more fame than you already have, right?
No.
So we'll leave it at
that. No, I don't. But a lot of people are asking me for ice cream photos. So
there you go.
I should get one out before I leave New York.
Probably not a bad idea, but you have another chance on Wednesday against the Islanders. Great stuff, Ian. We'll chat with you then.
All right. See you guys.
That's Ian McIntyre. Make sure to check out his latest on sportsnet.ca. It'll be up in the next couple hours or so. He's Bick Nizar, back on the People Show tomorrow. You have a show tomorrow.
Thanks.
You're actually working.
Yes.
All right.
2 o'clock.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Sorry, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. We'll see you on the People Show. I'm Satyar Shah, back on Canucks Central tomorrow with Dan Riccio. And special thanks to Fast Eddie Gregory, all of you for participating in the show, listening, texting in, calling in, or just staying involved. It's always a pleasure. Look forward to chatting with you again soon. This has been the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.